a message. I'm not going to try to preach a sermon. I want to go to 1 Kings, the 18th chapter. And while you're turning, if there's anything that I am driven, righteously driven with in my spirit, we've all got to pray more. We need to pray. I'm talking about right kind of prayer, not just loud prayer, short prayer, just religious prayers. But I mean prayers from the heart, prayers in the spirit. Our world's in a mess. You look at what happened in France this week, and, you know, that could be anywhere USA. We don't know where they are. We've let thousands and thousands of this type of thing come into our nation. We don't recognize it as terrorism, and they're just misguided religious folks. I'm going to tell you, you ought to thank God for Christianity. You ought to thank God for, I don't like the word religion, but you ought to thank God for your religion this morning, our Christianity. Christianity is love. Christianity is Good Samaritan. A true Christian helps one another. We're not here to destroy one another. You don't have to worry about who's sitting next to you and what devious thing might be in their head. You know, thank God the gospel of Jesus Christ will stop on the Jericho Road and help you even if you are beat up. We're out to save people, help people, strengthen people, and to touch their lives. We live in a world, and just, you know, you hear this, I know it, you know it, we all know it. Folks, Jesus must be coming soon. The world's just going crazy. I mean, outside of people knowing God, people are just nuts. They really are. And it's only Jesus that keeps us sane anyway. You know, praise God. With all that in mind, I just really feel so strongly in my heart. I'm turning to 1 Kings chapter 18. And I want to read verses 8 through 16. It just seems like, if not every verse, just every other verse, or most of this, is just pregnant with revelation knowledge. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up. Did your brook ever dry up? Okay. Because there had been no rain in the land. God knows we need the rain of the Holy Spirit of God today. We need that latter rain. We need the rain of God. And the word of the Lord came unto the prophet of God, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and he said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in your hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. That sounds like a preacher, doesn't it? Some preachers, thank you. And bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. Bring me your first. For thus saith the Lord, tie the two together now. For thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail. until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. By the grace of God, God help me, I just want to minister on this vein of thought. Put God first. Put God first. And that's one thing that we have done our best to sow that kind of seed and tried to develop that kind of believer in Calvary Cathedral International now for these many years. To put God first. What else makes any difference? When I was younger, I'll be very honest with you, yeah, there are certain things you'd like to achieve and maybe certain titles or certain people that you'd like to have their, at least have their attention, that they thought you did a good job. You know, we're all human. We all like a pat on the back and we like someone to appreciate what we feel like we're doing for the Lord. But I've reached the point I really don't care. I just want to please God. I want Him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Your church wasn't just show and go. It wasn't just pomp and circumstance, or it wasn't just a religious dog and pony show. It's kind of a rugged expression, but there it is. But thank God Calvary was a church that put God first. And that resolve has cost us friends. It's cost me ministry friends. It's cost us people attending. I just refuse to compromise. I'm going to please God. I'm going to please God by God's grace. This is Calvary, and this is my, as I understand it, this is our DNA. God first in our time, in our talent, and in our treasure. Can you imagine getting into heaven and saying, you know, God, something's really been bugging me while I was on earth. You expected us to give you our best and expected me to give you my best time and consider you in what I buy, what I sell, what I purchase, where I go, what I do. I just think it's a little bit self. Do you think we're going to approach the throne of grace and question God over anything we've ever done in the name of Jesus? I tell you, I think that wiping away all tears is going to be when we see what we could have done and we didn't do. And God's going to have to say, it's all right, you're here. You made it. And He's going to wipe away all tears. And I'm not trying to be negative in that, but I am trying. I'm talking to myself nowadays. I'm talking to myself. I'm talking to you. We've come this far by faith. And just to hang in there and be a pastor, that's the least desire that I have. I want to continue to be a pastor for the time that God calls me to do that. In a church that makes a difference. So last week, Andre Crouch went home to be with the Lord. He was part of that Jesus move way back in the early days in the little post office building where we saw the Jesus hippie revival. And we saw a number of other names that you'd pick up on real quickly that came through and were a part of that. We've seen God do a lot of things, but I believe the best is yet to come. I said, I believe the best is yet to come. I cry out, Lord, let it be as it's on our currency. In God we trust. Not in the government we trust. Not in man we trust. Not in the Democrats or the Republicans we trust. But I'm talking about in God we trust. Let me try to break up into at least four sections what I believe the Spirit of God is showing me here in this 1 Kings portion of God's Word of the 17th chapter. What did I say? It's 1 Kings 17. Did I say 1 Kings 18 a while ago? Excuse me. I have it written out correctly. I just didn't. I missed it on that. First of all, I want to talk to you about America's greatest need. America's greatest need is to put God and His Word first in our life. This nation, well over 200 years old now, is one of the most unusual nations in the world, and Satan is doing his best to try to make it to crumble. The reason this nation has survived through dangers, toil, snares, civil wars, and all kinds of wars and all kinds of changes is because it was founded on the Word of God. This nation was founded by God-fearing men and women. And that's the way it got started. That's the way it was started. And so here in 1 Kings 17, we see America's greatest need. It was the greatest need then. And that was to get back to God, get back to Jesus, get back to the Holy Ghost, get back to the Word of the Lord. Just get back to basics. In a large city, a strategic city, pastor of a leading church stood, supposedly a full gospel preacher, and said, that movie about Left Behind, that's just a fairy tale. You know, this church has been amazingly protected from a lot of garbage and junk that's floating around, and sometimes it creeps into television, religious television even. Can you imagine a pastor of a church that claims to know the Word of God saying, that being left behind? Jesus talked about this. I mean, who do you think you are? One's going to be taken, the other, you know. That's not my fairy tale. That's not my story. That's not your story. That's the story that God says. Some are going to be taken and some are going to be left. Some will have oil and some will, they don't have a clue. I gave to this statue and I gave to this hospital and I gave to that, but they're left behind. Folks, Jesus is coming and we just need to get back to the Word of God. Salvation by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Thank God for it. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. God knows we need it. We need the power. We need the power. The healing power of God. We all need and reach out for that healing power of God. And I know I've had some challenges the last 2 or 3 years, but I'm going to tell you, you don't know all the ways that God's touched my body over the years. God has been good to this preacher. God's helped me time and time and time again. We're all of us are alive because of the grace and the goodness and the healing power of God. Amen. Praise God. America's greatest need, getting back to God, getting back to the Word of God. We can sing about it, we can preach about it, we can teach about it, we can come to church, we can give about it, but you got to believe. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Thank God for the centurion who said, speak the word only. I don't need a commentary. I don't need someone's latest opinion. I don't need the latest Doctrine of the Month Club magazine. Speak the word. Lord, you speak the word and it will happen. I believe that. Grass withers, the flower fades away, but the word of our God will stand forever. When the world's on fire and darkness veils the sun, the old song said, I'll live on. I'll live on through eternity. I'll live on. You will too, as your faith is in God. Isaiah 55, none of these are strange verses to you at Calvary. So shall my word be, so shall my word be, that goeth forth out of my mouth. It will not return void, But it will accomplish the thing whereunto I sent it, and it will prosper. It will prosper. God's word will prosper for those who dare to believe it. It's all right there in your Bible, in my Bible. You see, we all need a word from God. I asked the Lord as the new year came in, I said, God, give me a new hunger for the Bible. And I'll tell you what, he just downloaded. Whew. Waking up in the middle of the night and just read a few chapters and begin to think how wonderful God's word is. I do very little reading of the newspaper. I look at maybe the front page or a title if there's something that catches my attention, but I don't just sit there and just, you know, spend the rest of my day in the newspaper or on the news, because the world's news is constantly changing. God's news is the real deal. Amen. We need a word from God. We need a word from God. We have a word from God. People say, well, oh, Brother Nichols, I've seen them run from meeting to meeting to meeting. You can go to a meeting. You can fake out a preacher. I've seen them. I've seen people, they got a word from everybody. You can get a word, honey, but it may not be a word from God. You may catch a preacher off balance, and he may be 90% accurate. I've never met anyone that was 100% accurate, but I've met a high percentage, and I believe in the prophetic. I certainly do. But I mean, some people just, they just draw some kind of a response from preaching. You don't need a shadow word. You don't need a ghost word. You don't need a human word. You need a word from God. Because a word from God will work. It will work. A word from God will work. We need a word from God. We have a word from God. It's called your Holy Bible. It's time to believe and to do the word. Memorizing it is good, but you've got to go further. Going to Bible college is good, but you've got to go further. You've got to believe this. If you don't believe it, if you don't embrace it, if you don't hold on to it, it's not going to work. It's just black and white print and a page before you. But it's time to believe and to do the word. It's time to see the word work. I'm crying out, God, I'm expecting the word of God to explode in Calvary Cathedral International in this year to come. I'm expecting the word to work. God's word works. But you got to believe it. And yet, 1,500 ministers a month are quitting. 1,500. Across America, 1,500 ministers a month are bailing out of the ministry. Man, I feel like Peter. Where else is there to go? Where are you going to go? What's your hope? Where are you going to hide? What are you going to do? How could you ever be happy? How could you ever find fulfillment only in Him? We need a word from God. You know what? Genesis, and I love Genesis. I just love to spend time in Genesis, especially starting all over again in the Word of God. But you know, God gave a word to Adam. That word would have still been going if Adam and Eve had not blown it. God gave a word, and God blessed them. And God gave them everything that, what else could you want? No car payments, no house payments. No utility payments, no retirement. You walk with God every day. My Lord, have mercy. But that wasn't good enough. There was one thing. And you know, you need, church, listen to me. The one thing that bugs you may be the one thing that'll get you off track. Watch it. Watch it. Keep the word on everything in your life. The enemy tries to work on former weaknesses. He tries to work on former points of failure, former character weaknesses. He He knows how to come and try to exploit certain things in the past. But thank God the Word works there also. America's greatest need, we need the Word of God. Calvary's greatest need, we need to believe that Word with all of our heart. It's not just preaching a good sermon. It's not just teaching a good lesson. We need to believe and release our faith. You can burn out in evangelism. You can burn out preaching. You can burn out singing. I mean, all kinds of gospel workers flame out. And the thing that I've known, you know, in the years that we've been here, I've seen many people that have great giftings and great talents, and they of all people must walk humbly before God. And as Kenneth Hagin said, the person that God uses is the person that's easy to be entreated and quick to change. I've seen them in church. We need brilliant people. We need people quick on their feet. We need people that know how to even take the techniques, the right techniques of the world, and help us to spread the gospel. But at the same time, Satan will exploit that also. And you have to be careful. You have to be careful. You don't believe your own press. You walk humbly before God. I've had some very brilliant, anointed, talented gospel workers that blew up, flamed out. Our prison minister, that the judge said, if you ever have another problem in your life, you'll never see the free world again. Got out of prison, went to a Joyce Meyer meeting, got born again, gloriously saved, and made the circuit of speaking and so on, and then wound up with us. And it started out to be a good relationship, but you talk about something that stirs your heart. When your prison minister goes back to prison, one of the most talented men that I've ever known in his own rights, but he wouldn't judge himself. He would not. When you won't listen to a pastor, when you won't listen to those that have authority over you, when you will not respect God-given, God-sent authority in your life, you're headed for trouble. And I can name a few others that flamed out. They flamed out. And so some people just get all freaked out when they see somebody that's been mightily used of God. There's preachers that have been mightily used of God that flamed out. Evangelists, pastors, singers, whatever, just flamed out. Folks, we've all got to walk humbly before God. Jesus is coming. And there's enough power to keep us on track if we'll just stay on track. Amen. Jesus, stir us. You need to understand that. People with great talents need great camaraderie. They need close fellowship. People that love you for the right reasons. Not people that love you to exploit you, but people that love you to help you and to stand with you and will be with you. This church has always had an open heart toward those that missed it. And it breaks my heart, people. I've tried and tried and tried to get them back on track and tried to find a point of seeing lives spared. But, you know, you can't help somebody that won't let you help them. Kind of like us boys, you say you can't go with a girl that don't want to go with you, you know. That's kind of a rough deal. That's a rough. If they don't want to, honey, just you better find another one, because that one's not going to work, all right? We need one another. We need one another. Church, we need one another. We need one another. Praise God. So America's greatest need, we need the Word of God. We need to put God's Word first. Abraham had a word from God. That's what put him over. You know, as I've been studying Abraham, I tell you, our father of faith, his train jumped the track two or three or four times. But he always got back on track. Got back on track. Don't have time to go down that one. You take Noah. Noah had a word from God. And the only safe place in the world was on his boat. Now, let me say that, because I know someone's going to grab that and run the wrong. The only safe place in the world was on God's boat. Okay. How many understood the change that I made there. The only safe place in the world. When it started to rain, only those on God's boat were spared with their families. He had a word from God. I said he had a word from God. And you just go through the word of God. People that had a word from God, they made it. God brought them through. God brought them through on the high side of victory. David had a word from God. He said, "This I know, God is for me." Ooh, I know it. This I know, God is for me. Isaiah had a word from God for all of us. For the Lord God will help me. He will help me. God's not against me. God's for me. So the greatest need in the world is get back to the word of God. Now, you know, the second thing we see here in 1 Kings 17, the second thing that I see is that God's word has a plan of blessing and provision for every believer. I see young people out during the daytime when they should either be in school or working or, you know, I'm not the judge of it, but I don't think you miss it very far. And I mean, nothing, no goals, just making another day. Let me tell you, if you're in this room today, or if you're under the sound of my voice, God has a plan to bless you, to prosper you, to help you. God's not trying to figure out how to put you down, put you under, do away with. God wants to bless you. God's word has a plan to bless and to provide for every person who will dare to believe that. God said to Elijah, see, Elijah's brook had dried up. See, we all need each other. We keep coming back to this thing. We all need each other. His brook dried up. The woman's brook was drying up. And God brings them together. Hallelujah. And he said to Elijah, I have commanded a widow woman to feed you. God has a plan for your provision. God has a combination to your lot. God has a breakthrough for you. Hold on to that. Hold on to that. You've heard us as we've gone along the line of the fact that there was an Egyptian in the field. 1 Samuel 30 and 11. They found an Egyptian in the field. And they'd left him behind. And left him to die. And they said, will you help us find the enemy? He said, well, they didn't care about me, so I'll talk all you want me to talk. There was an Egyptian in the field. God has an Egyptian in the field for you. I'm not talking about nationality. I'm talking about help, the help of God. Over in John's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 9, there's a lad here. There's a lad that can make a difference in your life. He was willing to give his lunch to Jesus first. He was willing to give his lunch to Jesus. There's a lad here. And then, of course, you remember Abraham. When, you know, that's one of the most heart-touching stories. I can't read that without just... I mean, the Bible said that God did tempt Abraham. Actually, they tell me the truest interpretation of that is that God permitted Abraham to be put to the test. And we all grow as our faith is put to the test. And you remember as he took his son and they went for the sacrifice, and he said, Dad, you know, here's the fire and here's all the rest of it, but where's the sacrifice? I think that's when I'm out of bail. Where's the sacrifice? Abraham said, son, God will provide. God will provide. God will provide. Oh. And they turned at the strategic moment when God stopped the knife. And there was a ram whose horns were caught in the hedge or the thicket. And the need was met. I want to say it like I felt like you told me. God has already commanded and made provision for your need to be met, for your needs to be met. God has already commanded. It's a done deal. Just hold steady in faith. You say, well, that's easy for you. You know, I'm in a position in life to where, I'm going to tell you what, if I can believe it, you can believe it. If I can believe it, you can believe it. Nothing's for sure except God. Nothing's for sure but God. The only sure thing in Bob Nichols' life is God Almighty and His Son Jesus Christ and the blessed Holy Spirit. It's the only sure thing in my life. It's what I hang my hat on. That's where my faith is connected. That's my DNA. Woke up this morning, cold and gray. Yeah, you know, just yucky outside. But look what the Lord has done. Here you are in church on Sunday morning. He's just as real when the sun is shining as when you wake up and you look outside and you say, yeah, yuck. Or as Marilyn Hickey would say, yuck, yuck, yuck. He's the same. He's not dependent on the weather. For you see, great tests, number three, great tests often precede great victories. Great tests often, very often, precede great victories. I mean, when it looks like there is no way out, there is no hope, God's gone on a vacation, God's left town and has an unlisted number. Great tests often precede great victories, great breakthroughs. Listen to what God said. Listen to what God said. Elijah, I've got a provision for you. Listen to what Elijah said. God said, I have a provision for you. Listen to what Elijah said. I want your first. What's that pastor keep pounding the first for? Because it's the only way we're going to be happy. It's God first. God first. God first. Others second, self last. It's just the way it is. Listen to what Elijah said. I want your first. She said, sir, you don't understand. I mean, it's all right. It's all right. I'll give you some water, but you don't understand about the food situation. I just have enough for me and my son, and it's over. And I just hear in my spirit right now that there are people in this room right now that this week Satan has said it's over, but he's a liar. He said it's over, but he's a liar. You know he's lying when he moves his lips. But lady, I hear what you say. Just bake me a cake first. Well, I really believe in giving to God, and I believe in, you know, I believe in all this God thing. But, sir, you don't understand. This is flight final for us, for me and my son. We just have enough for one more meal. I just don't understand your request at this point. Oh, my. It's all I have. It's all I have. It's all I have. But I'll do it. And what are you going to lose anyway? If that's the last meal, you might as well go out in style. That's all I have, but I'll do it. I'm willing to trust. I'm willing to trust one more time. I'm willing to trust. You know, David, they brought him water. They crawled on their stomachs through the line to get David a drink of water from his favorite well. David poured that water out because it was sacred water. It was sacred water. Someone hazarded their lives for him. It was a lad that gave his lunch away to Jesus. Oh my. You just go through the Word of God. I find later on that after David had numbered the people and he missed God on that occasion, has anybody here ever missed God? I'm afraid so. And so he missed God, except it cost the lives of several thousand people. David cried out to God, what's the answer? And God gave him some alternatives what to do. So he goes to buy a threshing floor, to build an altar, to give an offering to God. And the guy says, hey, I'll just give it to you, David. David said, no, I want to pay for it. I want to pay for it. You know, I always get a little worried about folks that always, well, should I go there? Maybe not. Amen. I've told many a person, I value you more than getting something free. You're more important than me getting something free from you. I mean, we all give to one another. Am I saying it right? You know, some believers always got their hands out. Come on. Let God control that. Praise God. Someone had been abused here in the past, and I said, look, I said, we're not looking for a freebie. We'll pay our way. We want to bless you. We're more interested in you than we are what you have to sell or what you have to give away. We love you. You're what we love. Not a freebie. It's you. I hope I said that right. Praise God. Well, there's a lad here, and he said, I just can't do that which costs me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stayed from Israel. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we've discovered some things here. America's greatest need, their greatest need, our greatest need, put God first. We've discovered that God has commanded a provision for every one of us. Keep on believing that. Thirdly, that the great tests are often preceded by great victories. But here's a woman who gave her first. She gave her last. She gave her best. And you know, we'll be approaching, and again, I believe you track with me. I believe in this church because we're doing something for God. I believe in this church because we're winning souls. I believe in this church because our DNA is to help people and to love people, no matter what level they're on. A number of years ago, we had some outstanding needs in the church, and God opened up the first fruits at that particular time. And I couldn't tell you how it blessed. You know, one of the things that you constantly have to deal with in the average ministry, especially the pastorate, is that all the needs are met and the bills are paid and believe finances in. But God revealed to us how that when we put God first, thank God, things work. You know, God's the originator of first fruits. You know, that woman's gift was a first fruit. She didn't have anything left. It was a first fruit. And I think of how that God created the world, knowing what man would do. And that doesn't bother me about God. I'm glad I serve a God who knows all things. God created the world knowing what Adam and Eve would do, but he did it because he wanted to create those to love him by their own choice. It was their own choice. You know, I go through the Word of God. I go to John 3:16. To me, that's a first fruit scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave. God's love gives. I said, God's love gives. Sometimes I meet a husband or a wife through the years. They begrudge everything they give to their husband or wife. My God, have mercy. How'd you ever get mixed up in that deal? How did they ever get mixed up in that deal? Love gives. Love joyfully gives. Joy happily gives. Joy is happy to give. Hallelujah. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Hallelujah, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God's love gives. You take the story of the Good Samaritan, reading it this past week. Religion passes by. Didn't disturb them at all. They just moved over on the road, went on down the road. But love, is God. Compassion is God's love in action. And a man came by, a Samaritan, the good Samaritan. And he said, I'll help you. I'll put you on my own beast of burden. I'll take you down to my own hotel that I always stay in down the road. And I'll feed you and let you get back to health. And sir, if it costs any more when I come back, I'll take care of that too. That's God's love in action. Oh, my. I think of my mother. Boy, she was a first fruits giver. My Lord have mercy. She was a giver. My grandmother was a first fruits giver. I remember a couple that came to me years ago. They said, you know, Pastor, we've learned so much about God and about giving here in the church, and we're going into business for ourselves. At that time, they were going into the real estate business. I haven't heard from them in some time, but they said, here's a check. We haven't made a dime on our business, but we want to put some first fruits in here before we get started. Open it up as a $1,500 check. Man, that was like airmail from God, I'm telling you, that particular day. And God blessed them, and they prospered greatly in their venture. Praise God. Oh, my. I believe first fruits giving is why Joy and I have experienced that, among other things, why we've experienced God's victory. And I just want to say to us, you know, anybody knows we've gone through some challenges. We've gone through some tests. We need some folks to do some extra things. We need, I'm believing that God's going to raise up people that really just have a greater, we do have people that way, but God's going to bring in people that have a spirit of greater giving. Amen. You know, you don't just need a glamour project. You need to support your local church and help. And our tithe has gone to this church since square one, and we thank God for the privilege. But the thing that I want to just bring to us today, she gave her last first. That's all she had. She gave it. Praise the Lord. I'm not raising an offering this morning, but I'm just talking to you out of my heart. As I look at this, Elijah had a need. The woman had a need. The son had a need. But God had that thing all figured out. And church, the moment we stop believing God to supply our needs, we're in trouble already. You can't meet all your needs. I can't meet all my needs. I every once in a while I catch myself trying to carry, you know, the burden of the church. I can't do that. I know better, but I'm human, and I get caught in that every once in a while. But I'm just believing that this year before us is going to be a year of gracious giving. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe it with all of my heart. You know, hey, there's nothing wrong with clean sports. I'm not mad at sports. I'm not mad at any sport if it's honest and if it's legitimate. But you know, in the athletic world, we've gone crazy. Millions. Do you realize what one or two or three football players make? This church could evangelize half the world. Really? Really? We could expand in Uganda. We have other nations that want Lighthouse Television. But we've got to, you know, we have to have help to do what we're doing in Uganda. I mean, just what two or three athletes make. Can you imagine an athlete? Roy Tarpley made $5 million a year. But he couldn't handle Roy. Played with it. Dallas Mavericks, right? $5 million a year. You know, if I could make $5 million a year and I had problems, I'd hire me two goons on one side, one on the other, and slap me around if I even act like I'm going to do something stupid. You've got my permission. Just beat me up if you have to. Just don't let me make a fool out of myself. I'll pay you $200,000 or $300,000, but just help me preserve at least $4 million out of the five. The sad thing is, though, he couldn't control himself. Charlie, thank God, God delivered you. One man was commenting in the paper. He said, I have never in my life seen a basketball player who had the potential that Roy Tarpley had, and yet at 50 years of age, he checks out because he can't handle Roy. Thank God for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank God for the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not what you make, it's how you do with what you do make. $5 million. Today, $50 million. $25 million. I mean, $5 million, that's chump change. But it still wouldn't keep him out of trouble. He passed away this last week because he couldn't control. Oh, God, stir us. God, stir us. You know what I'm at? I'm not mad at anybody. Hey, I'm happy in the Lord today. I'm so thankful for God's goodness. But folks, we've got a job to do. And I, as Jesus said, I want to do and finish what God's called us to do. And you need me and I need you. God's given us a dual opportunity here. I can't do it without this great staff God's given me. And somehow God factors in the fact that God runs things primarily through men of God that have faith in God. Amen. You know, Moses' own sister said, does God only speak to Moses? God said, I'll handle this one, Moses. I'll handle this. Don't worry about that. And after a few days with leprosy, she decided God's way was the only way. Oh, my. You say, where's the preacher going to? I'm just crying out, God, for me, for you, for all of us, put God first. Because if you put God first, Matthew 6:33, but seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I've known pastors and evangelists and gospel workers who were money hungry, and you know, they were driven by money, driven by finance, and they're out. I don't even know where they are. They're either deceased or they're out of the ministry. This is not a money machine. This is not a cash cow. This is the kingdom of God. It's the kingdom of God. That's what Calvary is all about. Our DNA is to reach people for Jesus. It's not to. And I believe the crowd that's here this morning, I feel like we are on sync. I just feel your faith. So, I was raised in a family that believed in putting God first, and God always brought us through. My father didn't take care of his health. That's why I've tried to take care of mine. Believe God to help me in the process of it. Dad died too young. He really did. But mother, I'll tell you what, boy, she just believed in wearing out Bibles. I'll tell you, that woman, she knew her book. She knew the Bible. She was a gospel teacher. And you know, when Dad passed away, Dad couldn't practice law for the last few short years of his life, and so the income dried up and medical bills and so on, and the church was not to where we were treading water at that point ourselves, doing the best we could. And I remember mother, one day we were talking and praying, she said, son, God has never failed. She said, God has never failed. And she took that little Bible and she took her time with God every day. And I'm telling you, every bill was paid. Impossible bills were paid. And it wasn't a huge sum, but she didn't die broke either. She didn't die broke. She wasn't extremely wealthy by a long shot. But God took care of her. And we used to sing that song, be not dismayed whate'er betide. God will take care of you. God will take care of you. Hallelujah. But you got to believe. You got to believe. You got to believe. You got to believe. Glory to God. You had some good examples with 8 brothers and sisters. I still can't figure out how you got 8 brothers and sisters in the back seat of a car. You stack them. That's the way you do it. Dan, do you realize what a rich heritage you have? God's taught you that your God supplies all of your needs according to his riches and glory. You're a wealthy man. You and Ashley are wealthy. You know the wealthy one. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. So as I look at the story, and I've got to wind it up here, Elijah said unto her, fear not. That's where we stumble, isn't it? Fear. But go and do as thou hast said, and make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. That still just reads hard, doesn't it? You know, that just doesn't read easy. For thus, here it is. Here's the answer. For thus saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, the Lord God of Israel, your barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went, and she did. God's looking for people today that'll went and did. That's bad English, but you understand what I'm saying. Mom was an English teacher. She'd get me on that one. She said, son, your English was terrible today. But she went and did. She went and did. Folks, it's time to went and did. It's time to do it. It's time to believe it. Hallelujah. I just have a word for everyone that'll hear me today. God has already commanded provision for you. It may not come quickly. It may not come overnight. It may not come like you want it to. But you keep your faith right and you put God first and you keep serving God and you just wait and see what God's going to do. I couldn't tell you the people. When I first started preaching, I think the angels all folded their wings and heaven had a sad service and said, God, I think you made your first mistake. Things didn't happen overnight. Doors didn't happen overnight. I saw all kinds of things break through. It was slow going. Took a few years before we began. But you see, God was leading me to lay a foundation. Too much, too quick, you get messed up. But just keep building on a foundation of faith. Just keep forgiving. Keep loving. Keep coming through. Keep showing up for work. Keep doing what God told you last. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the Lord sends rain on the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake unto Elijah. If you have a Bible, won't you just pick it up and hug it? Would you just hug your Bible? I've never done this before, but we might as well just go ahead and go crazy. Would you mind just kissing your Bible? Say, thank God for the word. Thank God. Thank God for the word. Thank God for the word. The flower fades, the grass withers away, but the word of God is going to stand forever. Yeah, I got to counting up the other day, you know. I don't have as many years left as I used to have. I don't think like that. I don't think old. I'm not skiing nowadays because my legs aren't as strong as they used to be, but if they were just a little bit stronger, I'd be right on top of that hill. Amen. Praise God. I did it as long as I could do it until a couple of 3 years ago. Folks, let's step up to the plate. Don't bunt. Slam for the wall. Empty the bases. Empty the bases. Let's finish what God called us to do. And I want you just to, like I said, I'm not raising an offer. I want you to shout with me, money's coming to, big money's coming to our church. Big money's coming to our church. And say now, big money's coming to me. And I'll honor God with it. And we will see a harvest of souls. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, praise be unto God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, he will never let go my hand.